Silence in the court. All rise for the honorable judges. Hi, and welcome to Talking Shondaland for the People Edition. I'm Brody.
I'm Kay.
And I'm Sports.
And once again, we are joined by the fabulous Sports.
Sports is a genius.
It's genius. Genius Sports. Sports, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you? Baseball's back, so the sports fan part of me is happy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are named Sports for a reason.
You are.
Yeah, I am.
Yes. And I hear TGIT was amazing this week. The whole lineup.
It was. And I'm going to make a little confession. After I watched Grays, I had to watch baseball because I couldn't handle any more. I was emotionally taxed after that. I had to take the hour of Station 19 off, and then I went back and I watched the For the People.
Do you watch Station 19, actually?
I do.
Is it any good?
I enjoy big parts of it, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, it might be our next.
Well, I've always liked Stacey McKee.
Me too.
They do some pretty cool storylines. I did catch up on it last night when I got home from work. So there was a thing where, I think it was last week's episode, where Vic is talking about the student firefighter that had come by the station, and she says, "We're the Jedi, and she can be our Padawan learner." Anytime you slip in
Star Wars references,
Star Trek, Harry Potter, or any kind of Steven Spielberg reference,
you got Sports.
I get my vote.
Yeah, got Sports as a vote.
Mine too.
I'm a nerd. I don't just love sports. I'm also a nerd. I'm an equal opportunity, you know.
I can't say that I watch sports. I've played a lot of sports over the years, a lot, but watching sports has never been something I've done. Okay. Except for netball, but even then, not very often and not enough.
Well, I played, but a lot of the stuff that I watch and I like goes back to my dad and my grandpa and growing up with four brothers.
Fair. You sort of thrust it into that sort of lifestyle.
Yeah.
I had sisters, so it was not something like that.
Well, it was better than ballet. My mother made me go to ballet. My father rescued me and got me into Little League.
I really enjoyed ballet, thanks.
I do nothing.
Karen does nothing. She doesn't watch, nor does she play.
No. I'm a notorious ignorant person when it comes to sports. Yes, actually.
No.
Yeah. But let's talk about For the People.
Okay.
Because suits my nerdy needs.
And is actually why we're here.
That is true.
Yes. Okay. So this episode four, to be exact, was called The Vast Immovable Object. It was written by Karin
Rosenthal. And I'm very excited because you guys might think my name is Kay, but it's Karin, and no one in Hollywood except Karin Rosenthal
has
my name. Mm-hmm. I feel represented.
Let's just hope it's actually pronounced Karin.
Let's hope. Or not Karine or...
Karine.
Probably Karine, but...
Probably.
Yeah.
But... We're French. We call it Cadden.
Exact.
Okay. And it is directed by Keith Boak.
Boak.
I don't know.
We're sorry.
Names are difficult.
It is. If anyone can provide us with a guide on how to pronounce things.
Names, yeah, that'd be great.
We'd be happy.
Okay. Well, let's go straight on to the docket. Sports, as our guest, would you like to go first?
Sure.
All right. Well, take it away.
Well, I would like to accuse us of being psychic.
Okay.
Because we were talking last week about we want Hope Davis to have more to do.
Yeah.
And then, oh my goodness, they gave her more to do.
If I didn't know that they wrote and shot these episodes in advance, I would say they did it because of us.
Professor Trelawney would be proud.
You know, it seems like, so my impression is that we're probably going to get each character is going to get a big chunk of an episode this season, is my sense.
And Cade gets a little chunk of every episode.
Yeah, Cade's there every episode so far.
Yeah, but, you know, she was cool again in this one. But I want to talk about how cool Hope Davis was.
I don't even think I have words.
She was pretty amazing.
The beginning, when she's talking, you know, talking to Roger. Well, you know, you can fix this. And I can play all day. And he's like, but I can't do that. I don't even know what it is, and I can't do that. She looks at him. You know what it is. And from there, I'm like, okay, she's going to own this episode. And she was brilliant when she's doing her cross-examination in court, when she's doing her closing argument.
The closing argument was,
everything she did was brilliant.
She's so good.
And just her subtleties when... You know, at the end, she has to wipe away some tears because mm-hmm. she lost. But then she, you know, she's like, you fought for him. You went to war for him.
Be proud.
It doesn't want them to feel beaten or discouraged, but you just know that she feels beaten and discouraged.
Yeah.
But she's the leader of these young people and these young, fiery attorneys that she wants to keep working for justice.
Yeah.
You know, another topic kind of out of the headlines this week. You hear a lot with anybody who listens to a lot of true crime podcasts or how to Make a Murderer, I think it was, the series on Netflix.
Making a Murderer, yeah.
Yes, where you talk about false confessions and how difficult they are to overcome. And some of the sleazy things that police do to get them.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, I like to be proud of the police in my community and first responders, but, you know, there are some cops out there that do some downright illegal, dirty things so that they have closed listed on a case file instead of having the right person behind bars.
Absolutely. And the way she mentored those young, like, Ted and Allison and Jay this episode, just the way she mentors them in general, she is so good. Brody and I, as we were watching,
we were like, we want Hope Davis as our boss.
Like, Jill is amazing. She's so good with them.
You know who she reminds me of?
Tell me.
Is kind of a blend between Bailey and McGonagall. If you were to take those two and merge them, you almost get Jill.
There's a softness to her.
There is. And I think, she allows herself to feel more than, I think,
Minerva or...
Or even Bailey.
Because we're on first name basis with Minerva.
Minerva, yes. That's Kenan's favorite Harry Potter character, for those that don't know.
No, but I see it. The way that just the level of power and the mentorship, I totally see that. I totally agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But tacking on... Are you done sports?
I am.
Okay. Well, tacking on to the false confessions things, I want to accuse for the people of giving us another brilliant storyline in that involves false confessions.
Yeah.
It's something that I don't think people realize that happens very often. And it happens so often that there is not even a percentage of how often it happens because it's such a hard thing.
To prove. Yeah.
You know, like, they say, like, 30% of wrongful convictions overturned by DNA testing involved false confessions.
Which is huge. That's a huge percentage. That's about a little less than one-third.
Mm-hmm. And, like, it's crazy. Like, it happens so often. And then the extremes that these policemen go to get these confessions is insane.
Yeah.
Like, they showed us in the episode, like... tiny little cups of water and like having people come in and out, in and out, in and out. And like this interview went on for 14 hours. 14 hours he was sitting there.
That is crazy. The
and saying they'd help him. Help, we're going to help you, you know? Like that's always the one thing they always say, we'll help you. Just tell us and we're going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And faking the lab report and having a clerk put on a jacket to be a DNA.
How is that not illegal? How is that not illegal? I don't understand.
Yeah, me neither. Because we trust police officers. Like, we trust them. And if they tell us something that we did, something like, it's easy for me to doubt myself if a police officer tells me, but we know you did it. We know you did it. Like, how am I not going to doubt myself? Police officers are supposed to be the good guy. You know?
And yeah, and when the police are there saying, we know you did it, but we're going to help you, just tell us you're in a really tricky situation, you know, you're going to want to believe that these policemen are actually there for you.
Yeah.
You know?
I have a family member who went through a circumstance where there was a fire at their workplace, and it was a very, very long process, and they ended up finding that the city, as well as the firefighters, had been kind of at fault in not taking care of the place or whatever. Mm-hmm.
But instead of owning up to it,
the police officers really went at that family member and really went at them and held them in a cell, told them, you know, you'll feel better if you confess, and really, really, really made them do polygraph, made them do many, many things, because if they had a confession, if someone was to confess the crime, they wouldn't have to own up. Then it wasn't the city's fault. Right. They wouldn't have to own up to their mistakes, you know? So sometimes it is to their advantage to have someone who owns up
to it. Because if it was the city's fault,
right,
that's a huge thing.
That's one thing. And also, just having the case closed looks good. It looks better having a case closed than having a case that's still open. Mm-hmm.
And if you're a fire department,
mm-hmm,
let a fire happen and kill someone?
Yeah. Well, they weren't. They didn't let it happen. Like,
let's no, not but they didn't know.
They were negligent.
Negligent. Yeah. Like, yeah. So what happened was they came. Checked, there was a fire alarm.
They came.
And then they're like, no, no, all good, nothing here, and then left. And then the family member went upstairs and seen that there was actually a fire.
Yeah. And it was a retirement community, and two people ended up dying in the fire.
And because this family member was a smoker, they were like, oh, she was up there smoking. They were up there smoking. He was up there smoking. Like,
yeah. Like, they the many narratives they presented them, like wanting them to confess and make really, really trying for them to confess. It was like very egregious.
Like, he went through such a horrible time. Like,
yeah, it's awful. So I know it happens.
It does. And
yeah,
happens too often.
And then years later, the real report comes out, and it is the city's fault as well as the fire department for not being negligent in how they handled it. So
it's not just something that happens on TV. It's not just a plot line. It happens in real life.
Exactly. And I will say, on top of that, for this storyline, just the blocking in the confession scene reminded me of the Making a Murderer, the confession of Brandon Dassey, which is shown in Making a Murderer, which is, like, he was treated horrendously, mm-hmm, and the blocking of the scene really reminded me of that scene. As soon as I saw the blocking and the scene, the confession scene from For the People, I knew it was going to be a false confession.
We knew immediately. We were like,
it was so close to the Making a Murderer Brandon Dassey.
But we also knew, like, horribly, we also knew that he was going to be found guilty.
Yeah. We don't have much faith sometimes.
No, which is horrible, but that's the justice system nowadays.
Yeah.
Which is horrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, it kind of, he almost had to be found guilty. Because when we, a couple episodes ago, when we had the story of the little boy who gets returned to his dad.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have, if you want a show about the law to be realistic, you can't all have happy endings.
Fair. That makes sense. I didn't think about it that way.
But also, they found a loophole. That's how they made it work. It wasn't really the justice system fixing it, but in this case, I agree. In order for this storyline to have weight, we had to have a guilty verdict.
But also, if you confess to it, like, man, like, I get it. It might be a wrongful confession, but, man, you confess to that, and you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Which is horrible, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know? Always, never waive your right to an attorney, man.
No, that's never. Actually what I learned from this whole situation, where if ever I find myself in trouble, if I am innocent, having a lawyer there. Sorry, I need to do the proper formulation. I will accuse the show of exploring the theme of lying, pretending, deception. Those three things, and how sometimes very easily the lines become blurred between those two things, those three things. So pretty much every storyline touched on that. Of course, false confession. Jill brings up that it is a sort of lying. It's a kind of deception.
To get yourself out of a situation.
Yeah, or like you really convince yourself, you deceive yourself that you did it because law enforcement makes you think that you did it, and you don't understand how you got there, but it happens. We have Sandra talking about when she was younger with her dad, they went to the pool and they kind of used deception or pretending to be the Carlisles in order to get to the pool, which was super cute story. We have Kate this episode, who lies about having forgotten something at the hotel in order to go back up or go to the... I'm not sure if she went to the gift shop or she just went straight to the pool, but she totally lied about having forgotten something. The murderer, whose name I forgot. Did someone catch his name?
Hank, the actual murderer?
Hank, or no, Stephen, no. Stephen, the accused. So Stephen says that when he was younger, his dad would beat him. And his dad would tell him, do you understand why you deserve this?
Why you needed this.
Why you needed this. And he said, I would always say yes when really I didn't, you know. So we lie when confronted with abuse sometimes.
And I think that we also lie when we're embarrassed.
Oh, yeah.
About any abuse that we've suffered, that we don't want it to look like we're coming across as a victim.
Because
absolutely. We don't want the sympathy and pity in the looks that you get.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jill talks about convincing herself that she wanted that job when she worked at the private firm. And we also know that she was married. We don't know a lot about that marriage, but it's been implied or
yay,
been said
layers.
That. It wasn't a happy marriage.
You've given
show.
Us so many layers this
yeah.
This
there was kind of the end of last season when she and Roger had their day.
Yeah.
And they talked a little bit about how their marriages had gone wrong.
Yeah.
I think when they were at the baseball game.
Yes.
I think so. Yes. The whole notion of going undercover, which I'm not sure we can say
deception.
It is deception. No, but I mean, I'm not sure it can be treated as going undercover, but I guess it is. Like, he was pretending to do a transaction so that
undercover.
They could catch...
That's exactly what it was.
So that they could catch the people who were committing crimes. This is a very... not very important one, but still with Seth and his new date canceling on him. He wonders if it's lying or if she's trying to hide something, but really it's just, it seems like he really had something that came up and she couldn't go on the date. And the last one I want to address. So Jill, it seems like she ends the episode where she really struggles with the defeat, and then she goes to Roger and she tells him, you know, that part of you, the prosecution part, the prosecutor part, I really don't like, and I convinced myself that that part doesn't exist. That's the magic trick I do. So my big question is she finding herself to be at the same place she was all those years ago when she was working for that private firm in that bad marriage? Is she, in a way,
like, is she
without noticing, finding herself in the same place?
My question is, if she does not like this part of Roger, how can she like and be with him fully? Like, they're literally two opposite sides, and she's not willing to accept a major part of him.
Yeah.
So how is that relationship going to work?
I don't know.
I don't think it's going to work.
It's always going to have struggles, but let's consider this someday when they both retire, or they're both done with the law.
Right.
She's not going to be a defense attorney, and he's not going to be a prosecutor anymore. There is, if they get to a point where they're serious enough about each other, they can make a choice to take a different path.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But it's the same since their marriages have dissolved and all that has happened. It seems like their life has been their job. Are they willing to give up their job to be with each other?
I don't know. Maybe that's the layers they need to explore and decide that.
Maybe.
I'm thinking she really learned from the past experience, and she's at a place now where it's not that she's convincing herself she's happy in a situation where she isn't. I think she's at a place where she gives importance to aspects, to the aspects that are more important to her, or she knows where to put the weight of the relationship. She knows where to put the weight of her job, you know? I'd like to think that she's not the same place she was all those years ago.
I agree.
All right, Sports, your second accusation.
Yes. I would like to accuse the show of, and here we go, I'm going to be taking your side on this, Brody. I don't like what they're doing with Kenneth now. You know, okay, there was some fun stuff with him and Leonard, him going to Leonard for advice about things. But let's not forget, this guy at one point had enough game that Allison was his girlfriend.
Right, Seth? Agreed.
No, Seth, I actually wrote down, I was like, Seth. Since when did Leonard become the advice giver?
Okay, and Leonard chose Texas over Kate. Not exactly a subject expert.
No,
agreed.
That would be like on the Big Bang Theory, somebody going to Raj for dating advice.
No thanks.
You got to go to the person who's actually dated. So they need to not talk to each other at all. They need to go find somebody else.
No, but I don't understand where all of a sudden Seth has become this fumbling, bumbling idiot.
Because he's really like an idiot, more stupid, I find. Mm. Yeah.
Like he was always like this background character, but suddenly he is being portrayed as an idiot.
Yeah.
Now they could have done it differently. Yes, they could have been. He could have engaged more with the kids, and then got the number, and maybe had insecurities about dating somebody for the first time after Allison, and trying to talk through that. That would have been different. Instead, they wrote it so that he like did know how to text a girl, didn't know how to talk to her on the phone,
Never been in a relationship in the first place.
The dude used to live with Allison.
And Allison, yeah, and you know.
And I imagine Allison being far harder absolutely. To date than this teacher.
Because let's face it, the woman is wonderful, but you just know she's work.
For sure.
Yeah. And last week you brought up Sports, which is something I've always thought was the way they were going for Seth. You said once he starts... or stops seeking for approval, he'll be a good lawyer. And I think in general that I like that idea, that he's just someone who needs too much approval, and that's why he's confused, or you know, that's why he struggles.
Yes, that's fair, but we don't see him at all learning to.
This has nothing to do with approval now. Now it's to the point where he doesn't know how to do anything and he has to go to people
to tell
him how to
do stuff. Well,
that's
what I'm saying.
He
doesn't know how to deal with life all of a sudden.
Yeah.
He's Neville Longbottom before Dumbledore's army.
Did Allison's breakup... Did the breakup break him? Is that possible? Like he just suddenly dealt everything?
Possible, but he... Yeah.
If that is what it is, they've not portrayed it like that.
Agreed.
No.
I mean, because I love Seth. I think Seth has a lot of potential. A lot of potential to be a great character, but at the moment, he's being greatly misused.
I agree. And, like, I'm not against him and Leonard developing a friendship and a relationship,
but not
I really
that
doubt
kind
him.
Of relationship.
Yeah, like, Leonard, you moved to Texas to avoid a big conversation. No, I'm sorry, you don't get to be the relationship expert. I mean, and if people are going to tweet Kate is different. That's why he's struggling.
Let them
no.
be equals.
Right. Let them be, yes, not have Seth be the stupid one and Leonard be the superior one.
No, it's, yeah. It's, yeah. I don't know. That
I growled at my TV.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. really makes me upset. I don't, yeah. It's a storyline, a plot, a character. I don't understand why it's been written like this.
And it's sad because Ben is great at doing it. I find that
Seth he's a great actor.
Yeah, Seth has great charm that I would like to see him use. He's really good with children. Like, there's great stuff about Seth. It's just, it's really not in
the We're not getting the great stuff.
No, it's really in the way they chose to go with the character.
Like, are we supposed to see Seth as this dependent person? Because that's all I see.
Apparently.
Because if that's what it is, well, you've written it really well.
Yeah. But no, but I feel like in season one, he was not this incompetent. No,
but like if they just changed your mind all of a sudden and it's...
We need comic relief. Well, not to the detriment of a character.
No.
I don't know. Anyways.
My second accusation is possibly maybe bringing back Anya or making a reference to Anya. Because, like, has Kate's relationship with Anya influenced her knowledge when it comes to undercover work? Or the FBI in general?
Yeah.
She seems to be very in the know when it comes to those types of conversations.
Mm-hmm. I would think so. But to me, at this point, when we're at episode 4 and Anya has not been mentioned yet, it becomes kind of clear to me that the show is not interested in addressing Anya and Kate's relationship. No. I think at this point, we're supposed to accept think that Kate
is... Because we were just discussing it before we started recording. Is it the possible the conversation when Anya told Kate that she really likes Kate is and Kate's reaction was like,
whoa.
Oh my lord. Are we supposed to take that as the okay, this didn't work out?
Yeah, the end of the relationship.
Was Kate, you know, did Kate get cold feet?
Yeah.
Which is fine. It was just fine, but I would at least like a little bit of an explanation.
Me too.
They can't give us a relationship and then it's just gone.
Yeah. But I think it's clear that they're leaving it open-ended.
Yes.
But that's, like, at this point, really? Like, you can't mention her name or say anything, tell us what's
maybe
happening?
Honestly, it might be conflicting schedules.
Which is fine,
but you can still reference her.
Yeah.
Still talk about her. Like, but then again, who would Kate talk to about Anya?
That is a good question.
Maybe Sandra. If we became buddies.
Her new BFF.
Her new BFF.
What do you think, sports?
Yeah, no, I definitely would like to see a reference also, but I don't think that Sandra's somebody that Kate's gonna... She's working on building up to opening up to her a little bit.
Or are you gonna love Kay's second more. Accusation?
and I'm with you. I want some kind of explanation or closure if it's done.
Yeah.
Don't because the thing is... Out there. You can't give us an LGBTQ relationship and then... have it just
because we're very sensitive
it's gone yeah. Like it's like never happened almost
no. Yeah, they took it away.
They can't do that.
That's
when people start boycotting,
you know. I did find it interesting that Kate still has her incredible fear factor because Doug said you scare me.
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
And she's confused about that.
She's like, what? I get that, though. I get that. I have a couple of my colleagues who are like, yeah, no. Or my assistants, they're really like, yeah, no.
Well, you know, I've seen you play Trivial Pursuit, and you freak out when somebody else gets an easy question, so I'm a little scared of you, too.
Not really.
Yeah, but bad sportsmanship, Brody.
No, but, like, legitimately, my assistants and stuff, they have to, yeah.
They tell Brody, be nice. Mm-hmm. Be nice, Brody.
I have students that come and I have to teach them how to be the best teachers. And I have to have conversations with them every now and then. And I've had a few of my assistants or my big, big boss be like, okay, Brody, be nice. And I'm always like, what do you mean? I'm super nice all the time. But they're like, yeah, but, you know, just be nice. So I can understand Kate's confusion.
So... I run into this sometimes at work myself, because when I'm explaining certain things, I'm very by the book and boom, 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 boom. And it doesn't necessarily come off as being a coaching style I'm using versus a dictating type stuff.
Yeah, I think, but also I think Kate in general is very cold. You know, like, aloof.
Aloof is more,
Not, like, she's not cold, but she's very aloof, and she's very, she keeps to herself, you know, it's very obvious, and I think that can be very intimidating.
I think Kate likes to keep her personal, and her work.
Agreed.
She's not necessarily a fan of being surrounded by all these people who do the exact opposite.
That is true. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, she doesn't, I don't think she likes bringing her personal to work. That's
so while
sure.
we're talking about Kate, I'm going to accuse this show of not giving us the ship we deserve. Because forget about Anya and Kate, forget about Leonard and Kate. Let's talk about Kate and Sandra.
And I'm on board for this, by the way. I will have Kate and Sandra as any relationship.
Yeah.
Preferably romantic, but any relationship.
So let's expand our mind a little bit. Like, it's not about the sexual or romantic relationship between them.
Yes, it is.
It is just, I mean, it can be. I'm open to it. But it's just a dynamic they have. They have great chemistry. I think this show gives us the best storyline and cases when these two are together. This scene that stood out most to me last season was when Kate and Sandra were working together. Kate explained to Sandra last season why she was the way she was. And she talked about her childhood. And it's interesting that this episode, we have them working together again. It is Sandra who opens up about her childhood to Kate. I think we've never had such a laid-back conversation between characters.
Is this going to be the relationship, other than Roger and Jill, that's going to bridge the gap between the prosecution and the defense?
I think there's great respect between them. And,
they're obviously the heavy hitters out of both prosecution and defense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it makes all the sense that they should be in a relationship.
I agree.
She agrees.
I agree. But I mean...
I am envisioning Kate walking into Sandra's office and having a seizure.
Oh, that mess? Maybe, you know, they did talk about cleaning Sandra's office. Maybe it's Kate that cleans Sandra's office. One day, Sandra goes to work and her office is clean, and she, like, accuses everyone, like, you touched my office? What happened? Why? Don't touch my things. And they're like, it's not us. And then we find out that it's Kate.
The cleaning up fairy.
Yes.
It was so funny when Sandra came to see her and said, and Kate says, excuse the mess.
Right.
I wasn't expecting anyone.
There's like two sets of Post-its on her desk.
That's what eyeliners. That's what I, we say that about our apartment. We're like, oh, sorry. People were like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny.
Mess for one person is... What someone classes as a mess is different to one other person.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, just in general, I want to reiterate, it's not necessarily about a romantic relationship.
Yes,
it's just between the professional respect between the two and the way they seem to relate to each other feels, I think to me, it feels like the most genuine and interesting relationship of all the characters
and
on this show.
And that is saying something, because we have Tina and Jay...
Willie in our heart.
In our heart. But yeah. I think Sandra and Kate is something else entirely. Yeah.
Like, I know they can't do it every episode because it probably loses its importance.
So when it happens, we're like, yes.
Very excited. And in season 3, I'll be looking forward to the episode where
they things I wrote down for this episode actually was, Sandra and Kate equals hell yeah. That's the first thing I wrote down.
I didn't give any spoiler, but I said, hey, they have a scene together. I think I sent somebody a message.
You sent me a message. And you know what? I saw the GIF that for the people, I'm going to share this, people, and I'm not ashamed.
I am ashamed of her. As her wife, I'm ashamed.
Okay. So I saw the GIF of, it starts with Kate in her chair with her little hat.
And sunglasses.
And sunglasses. And I was so excited, I teared up. And then the GIF pans, and it's Sandra. And I freaked out.
And then she sends me this and says, I cried a little. And I was like, yes. Oh my God, you're embarrassing.
Yeah, I get very excited about things.
Yeah, that's my wife.
Yep. So, you know, I don't like sports, and going to the gym.
She does like sports.
This TV show, I'm invested.
She likes you sports.
No, I like sports the person, not sports the...
I knew what she meant.
Lori. I know.
You do not have to explain K to me.
Okay. So that's my accusation. Just
give us Sandra and Kate in all any day, capacity. Every day.
Right. Season 3, Sandra and Kate. Or if this show is canceled,
Sandra and Kate plus 8. Give us Sandra and Kate plus 8.
We can't
beat
that.
They adopt 8 little orphans.
Can't beat that. Let's move on.
Okay. I believe we're all done with our accusations. Now let's move on to notes and addendums, where we discuss anything else that is yet to be discussed. Sports, what do you got for us?
You know, I actually, this episode, I didn't see a lot of continuity issues or anything that really bugged me other than what, you know, the Leonard and Seth stuff that really, it's still, even on my rewatch, it bothered me more the second time around than it did the first time.
Yeah. There's a continuity thing we noticed, actually.
There is, actually, one thing I noticed.
Okay.
Kate wears 2 shirts while
she's in
the hotel. She goes there with a black floral print shirt and leaves with a blue polka dot shirt.
Which I think she changed because she knew she was going out and she needed
a
sleeveless.
No, don't try it.
But, or... her and Sandra did something.
Yes, she actually did. She actually did say, "Oh, well, they had a bit of a romp in the hotel room."
Yeah, I did say that. I'm not proud of it.
She's gonna make me edit that out.
Yep,
but I'm not.
That's fine. That's the only continuity thing we noticed. I will say I don't have many notes. I will give props for coming up with John Toe. I think that's funny.
That was funny.
John Toe.
No.
No, Toe.
Doe.
Toe?
Yes, Doe.
No, Toe.
Yeah, Jay was kind of funny at the beginning where Sandra comes running. Did you say murder? No, you heard duty because it was her day to be on duty. At the
yeah. And she's like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, no, it sounded nothing like murder.
She's so cute. I love her.
Yeah. I do have to say, of course, I always have to mention Kate Littlejohn just a little bit more. When that woman smiles, she smiles with her eyes, this woman, like she lights up. And I only notice this in children. Like, as a teacher of little children, when they smile, their eyes light up, like their whole world lights up. And that's what happens with Kate Littlejohn.
So cute, that scene with Sandra.
Yes, and like you could just see her like smiling willfully as Sandra's talking.
You know, there were no stakes. It was just a conversation between two women who understood that they both needed.
But
a break.
Also love like, oh, also I can tell you this, right? And she's like, yeah, it's not my jurisdiction.
Yeah,
yeah, that's funny. Also, again, we got to see that these are, in fact, baby lawyers. Like they talked about murder.
Capital murder.
And they're like, no, that's capital murder. Like, you're way too baby for this. You're babies.
Capital murder is upstairs.
Yes, capital murder is upstairs, which I don't know if anyone knows. Do you know what capital murder is? Sports, I guess you probably do.
Capital murder is a case where in a state that allows it, if they want, they can actually seek the death penalty.
Yeah, it makes them eligible for the death penalty.
Also, they gave the case to Jill, which they didn't give it to Jay or Allison.
No, she was, yeah, she was, Jill. Yeah. She was,
so that's another indication that it's a big case.
Yeah, it was not headed by a student. Not a student, they're not students.
Baby lawyer.
And she had all of them helping her, which where most of their... public defender cases, it's just the public defender. Maybe Ted will help with some research, but they go solo.
Well, she knew that it was a big one. She knew solo. As soon as
she opened up the war room.
The war room.
Yeah, well, she knew as soon as it was a false confession case. She knew that, you know, she needed all hands on deck.
Yep.
Okay, well, you know, moving on from there, let's talk about petitions brought before the court, where we discuss listener feedback.
Yes.
Okay, so, Kellen, do you want to talk about the first one?
Absolutely. Pigs, Pigwings11 tweeted.
Our usual tweeter. Good.
Hello. Our favorite.
Our favorite.
Obviously. Tweeted Hope Davis and how wonderful she is. She wants us to discuss that.
Well, we discussed that, but still, let's just talk about it again because Hope Davis and Jill, just amazing. I like them, that character, Hope Davis, more than Roger. As mentors.
Yeah. As mentor, yeah.
The characters, actor, acting, I think she does it better.
She stands out.
She stands out for sure. And that last scene when she walks out of the court and they're all walking slowly and you just see her face, I like broke. It broke me.
Yeah.
Because you could see how broken she was.
Yeah.
And the ABC had a show called American Crime Story.
Right. I was going to bring that up.
It only ran for 3 seasons. But season 2, she was in pretty heavily. And she did amazing work in that season.
What fame was that one? Was that the...
There's that Sandra.
Was the one where the young man was sexually assaulted.
Yes. Was she not the principal?
No.
She was the wife.
No.
She was the wife
of the coach.
Right.
And the mother of the daughter that actually sold a kid some drugs.
No, that show, people, if you're looking for something to watch, American Crime Story is a great show.
All three seasons were absolutely amazing.
Not American Crime Story, American Crime, sorry.
Yeah. You're right. American Crime Story is FX.
Yeah.
Yes. Also Ryan Murphy.
With Sarah Paulson.
Sarah Paulson. Also, you should check out American Crime Story.
That is true, but...
For Sarah Paulson.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, Pig on the Wing... with her handle being, funnily enough, at Pigwings11.
Which is that, I would like to know if it's a Pink Floyd reference.
I don't know. Can you explain to us what your handle means, please?
I think it's the Pink Floyd reference, which I'm a fan of.
Yes. Sandra and Kate, was that flirting? It looked like flirting.
I'm going to
say... As someone who is notoriously known for reading between any line she can find for lesbian relationships and... movies, TV, books, reads all the fan fiction, does all the graphic artwork, just for any chemistry, anything. I really want to see it. I do. I really want to see it, and I'm all on board for it, but I think it's a... I don't think it was intended. I think it was a bit of a... It's a bit of a stretch. Not too much, because I can see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would love to read some fanfic.
I think that what happened in some of those scenes, the fact that the two actresses are friends and get along so well, just came out on the screen.
Maybe, but either way, great chemistry. Which is generally how it works, though, when you get two people who have great chemistry, is generally they're good friends.
I think it's a mutual understanding and a great connection. I don't think it was intended to be seen as flirting. Now, if they want to go that way...
We're on board for this?
Yeah.
100%. Sign us up. We'll make a podcast just about Sandra and Kate's relationship.
Plus eight.
And they're 8 orphans. But no. Maybe a little bit of a stretch. But if you want to see that girl, see it. Because now that you mentioned it, I'm seeing it.
Was an amazing conversation.
It was an amazing conversation.
Yeah. We rewinded it 3 times.
Maybe more.
But the people don't have to know that.
No. We don't. They don't have to know about my rewinding obsession.
So you mention it every episode.
Yes. It takes me a good 2 hours to get through a 40-minute episode.
Let's move on.
Last verdict. Overall appreciation of the episode. Can we sum it up in like one word again like we did last week?
Yeah.
We'll go.
Me first?
Yes.
I will accuse this episode...
That's not one word, but good job.
Well, I mean...
Accusations are done.
My last verdict is...
Accusations are done.
My last verdict is guilty of... guilty of... making me realize I need the break.
But...
like Kate and Sandra.
You need a break?
They need a break?
You need a break. She just had a week off. Thank you, everyone who doesn't know. She just had a week off, and now she wants a break.
I guess. I'm a teacher.
And then in 3 months, she has 2 months off.
Yep, that's why I'm
a teacher, and I don't get that.
We'll move on.
Okay. There's going to be a fight.
No. Wait, she knows.
Here's why there's going to be a fight. Because I believe that teachers earn every single minute that they have off of school breaks and for summers. They have earned every minute of it, and we should not make fun of them for having that time off.
Anyway, okay, so sports. What do you got for us?
This episode, one word, realistic.
I can't do it in one word. I just thought I'd make them do it in one word.
I'm so angry with you.
This is why people get discouraged with you sometimes, Brody.
This is why I am the host of this podcast, and you will do as you're told.
The judicial system is unfair in this podcast as well as in society.
I actually don't know if I can even explain this episode. I mean, it was a great episode. I really enjoyed it. I want more Jill-centric episodes, I think.
You know what I want is I want a case where Jill and Roger have to go against each other in court.
Yes, and then they...
And sending their little minions out to do it, but them in court against each other. That's the only issue I had with him saying, oh, capital crimes, that's upstairs. Is that we didn't get to see them go head to head in court.
That would be amazing.
I think that would be a lot of fun to see.
I think that if something like that happened, it would be the end of their relationship. I can see it. They go against each other, and she literally has to face Roger, the defense lawyer. No, Roger, the
prosecutor. Federal prosecutor.
That's when she literally have to face the side of him that she is blatantly ignoring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Court adjourned. Okay. Where can we find our guest on the internet? Sports, where can we find you?
I am on Twitter at sportsfan12921.
Okay. You can find us at courttemparts.com. Our Twitter is at Talking Shonda. We also, our personal Twitters are mine is Insanity Glamour.
Mine is at K Wright.
Yeah. Our email voice note to leave us a voicemail
is. Which you should.
You should, yes. I want to hear what your voices sound like. Do you have a nice, sexy accent like me? Maybe.
Or a nice backwoods Canadian accent like mine.
Yes. Our email is shondaland@courttemparts.com. Our voicemail is 400-500-8785. And our Facebook group is Court Temp Arts Podcast. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and everywhere you listen to podcasts to leave us a 5-star ratings and review. Thank you again, Sports, for joining us on this week's For the People podcast.
You're welcome.
We love you a lot.
Yes. Thank you for listening, people.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to an original Court Temp Arts Network production. To listen to more Court Temp Arts shows, visit courttemparts.com.